That is the raw, crass truth of schooling, is that it's cheap daycare. It's a straight up, you know, child warehousing service.
The best part about school is the end of it.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Matt Hearn, and I live in East Vancouver, British Columbia, where I run an alternative to school program for teenagers, and I work with a large democratic free school called Windsor House. I think that there's a certain kind of mentality that unschoolers and homeschoolers in particular tend to get, kind of an us against the world kind of thing. Pull up the castle wall and don't let anybody in. We can, you know, we can make it ourselves. It's a laudable, do-it-yourself, individualistic kind of viewpoint, but in the end, it's self-defeating, I think. The bringing up of children is very central to our culture, central to any culture. It's a social phenomenon. It's a social project. I would never use the term, it takes a village to raise a child, because it's just so utterly destroyed, but there's some kind of truth there. Critically, it's a social question. And when we talk about what is education, you're asking the question, what is it that people need to know? And when you ask that question, you're really getting on a sideway to talking about what the good life is. And there's no way that that question can be answered in isolation. That question has to be a social question. On a more prosaic level, homeschooling is tough because no parent wants to be with their child 24/7. And more than that, no kid wants to be with their parent 24/7. That may be a crass way to put it because we all love our children and we like to think that our children all love us. But it just ain't the truth. We all have lives we want to lead, and our kids certainly have lives they want to lead outside of their parents. There's no way that homeschooling should equal kids hiding behind their parents. It's a big world out there, and just because you don't go to school doesn't mean that you can't be a major part of it. In fact, suffice to say, one of the great arguments against schooling is the isolation in age-specific groups of kids, rather than having them out exposed to all kinds of different people of all kinds of different ages and all kinds of different cultures and predilections. I think homeschooling has to be a community event. To unschool your kids or to allow your kids not to go to school, it invokes a larger social commitment. And so it's not just everything stays the same, but we keep our kids out of school. It's a whole lifestyle change. The idea of unschooling implies an entire cultural and social stance. Changing the way we view schools has to be about changing the way we view the world. One of the great lessons of being in school for a long time is that you learn how to work in great, big, huge bureaucracies. I'm not talking about it as an essential value. One of the great necessary skills in our culture is to be able to deal with these big, ugly bureaucracies and to be able to deal with them in a way that talks about transformation, in a way that they can listen. It's not just simply about withdrawing them, but talking about how can unschooling, how can de-schooling, how can alternative education be available to a lot of simple people? How can it be available to a lot of everyday people? Everyday people that you meet, your neighbors, how can the ideas be something more than essentially a yuppie idea, which is, I'm going to get mine? What's interesting is you notice a lot of kids over the years, kids that I know that have been de-schooled or been at Windsor House for years and years, especially kids who have never done any academic work whatsoever, like absolutely not a whit of academic work, and then being able to go into school, you know, high school exactly of their age group and just do fine. It comes to a point where people go, geez, I really want to get my high school graduation, or I really want to go to university, or I really want to, you know, be able to do this, this, this. I need to be able to get trained in this. People do what it takes, because once the motivation is internal rather than external, people are capable of almost anything. There's so many kids that I know of that have done not even close to the supposedly required academic work, entered into grade 11 or 12 or gone to first university and done just fine. Because if it takes a little extra work, if it takes doing a summer course in grade 11 math to catch up, if it takes whatever it takes, there's no point in just wasting your time trying to drag a kid through a curriculum that they have no interest in. It's not efficient to force people to learn things they have no interest in. Because not only will they resent it, they won't learn it. But I think that's relevant if you can't explain to them, if it's just your neuroses twitching, well, then probably it's not a legitimate thing. But if you can't explain to them why it's important that they do that, well, maybe they'll probably buy it. But you need to be able to explain that both to yourself and to them. Part of the thing is that people mistake is that by unschooling, I'm suggesting that people mute their personality around kids, don't tell kids anything that's important. And I think that's a false way to look at it. I think it's important that people have exposed the full length of their personality to kids, that people talk about who they are and talk about their interests, and people, you know, let kids know who they are. And for me, for example, I'm totally into people knowing a whole lot about the geography of the world. And for me, so somewhere along the line, my older kid accepted that it would be a good idea to be able to know every single country in the world on a blank map. She does it. And my kid is no genius. She's 11 years old, and we have a blank map of the world, and she can, you know, I can point to it to any single country from Togo to Peru to Thailand, and she knows them all. I'm not trumpeting the fact that Sadie's any kind of intellectual pain, because she isn't. She's just a kid who somehow along the line has accepted my assertion that that's a good thing to know. There would have been no trouble. There's a lot of things I really wish my kid knows that she doesn't. For example, how to dribble a basketball. But she has no interest in basketball. And it's impossible in my house to get away from basketball because I'm obsessed with basketball. But neither of my children have any interest. And you need to be able to ask yourself that question. Am I sitting there holding that book and getting really frustrated because the kid won't read it because I'm worried what my own parents will say? Am I worried about what the neighbors will say? Am I worried that I'm a bad mother? That kind of stuff. Or is it actually truly important? Does the kid really actually need to know that? Your children love you and care for you. If you can come up with legitimate answers, well, that's something else. And there's some things that are important. You know, if you're living on a farm, it's really important to know how to milk the cow, because you want to have milk in your cereal in the morning. That's important. That's an obvious thing to learn how to know, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I need you to learn how to drive the truck because, you know, we got to get the hay in. That's a simple question, but there's all kinds of different things. You know, you need to be able to add because I want you to be able to go to the store and buy the loaf of bread for me. But there's no question that kids, absolutely, absolutely, and I don't have a problem in asserting that absolutely every kid wants to grow up to be a capable and competent person. Nobody wants to grow up to be ignorant and stupid.
Mommy, I have so many ideas bubbling into my head. You are listening to Radio Free School.
The stay in school mantra, it's impossible to miss. People have to justify what's going on, but the bigger question is not why are you keeping your kids out of school, but why are you putting them in there? And the answer, I think, for overwhelming majority of people is because they badly need the childcare. Not because they think it's a good idea, not because they think their kid's learning, you know, a whole lot, but because they need the childcare. They need somewhere for their kid to go while they're working. That is the raw, crass truth of schooling, is that it's cheap daycare. If it's not too horrific, fine, but really it's just straight-up service. It's a straight-up, you know, child warehousing service. And I think that what you're talking about for kids is building up some kind of pride in that way. And knowing other homeschoolers and knowing other de-schoolers and meeting, you know, going to conferences, reaching out to people all over the place, and not just over the email, but actually physically going and visiting people and inviting people to your place, doing homeschooling exchanges, having kids travel, having kids as soon as they're possible go and meet, you know, other homeschoolers, go to, like, free schools that are around, meet other kids and go, yeah, no, I feel proud of what I'm doing. There's nothing that adults like better than a kid that's engaged. We'll look them in the eye and be interested. Because one of the great tragedies of schooling is that kids learn to hate adults and adults learn to despise kids because kids all believe that adults are out to screw them somehow because they're used to them in the manipulative authority of teachers and administrators. But adults love being around kids, and adults of all kinds love passing on their information and their ideas, and there's nothing that a lot of adults like better than to be able to have a kid around who's interested in what they're doing. I live in a neighborhood that I love. We can talk about the experiences of places that I love, like Windsor House, or another wonderful place is the Albany Free School, which is in Albany, New York. It's an incredible place to go and check out if you ever get a chance. I'm very proud of what we're doing with the Purple Thistle Center. And there's all kinds of places that are doing great work. But I think the real important thing is to be placed, is to find a place where you want to be. Because the threads and the epistemologies and the reasons for being that make sense in every community are so fundamentally different and really only understood by the people that are there. But to get involved in your community and to get your kids involved in your community, and it seems simple and cheesy, but knowing your neighbors and knowing the festivals that are happening and knowing the different threads of activity, actively going out and meeting people with interesting ideas and putting it out there that you're interested in almost anything. How can we create a place? And it doesn't have to be just for homeschoolers. You can do something after school. So mm-hmm. Kids who are in school and kids who are not in school can come together and hang out and do stuff. Even something as simple as, you know, with a bunch of skater kids coming up with, you know, some video equipment and making skate videos. Even come up with, you know, a room in a community center, putting it out there and just, you know, bringing in kids and meeting kids and putting up, you know, flyers or whatever, meeting kids of any, because even a lot of kids that get sent to school, their families have alternative pedagogies or sympathies for alternative pedagogies. They're interested in doing something different with their kid, and a lot of families really resent the fact they have to send their kids to school every day, but they just don't have any choice. There's nothing else for them to do. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous number of families in every community that know the school they're going to is probably not the greatest place, but that's just the way it is. But if you can offer something, you know, after school, like a funky thing for unschoolers and kids that are in school to get together and do something together. Even if it's, just, if it's play floor hockey or if it's, you know, just open up a gym for the evening, or there's something we used to do in Vancouver, which is the midnight basketball thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have basketball. We used to open a court from 11 to 1 o'clock at night so teenagers could come play ball instead of, you know, running around the streets. Or just any kind of interesting ideas. But the but for kids in particular, just take with kids' ideas and run with them and do something crazy. Do magazines, do murals, do anything you can think of that's big and fun for kids to do. And anytime a kid has an idea, run with it. And don't get stuck on the ideas of, you know, okay, well, it's just, you know, we can't do that because it's just too big a project.
Mm-hmm.
Do something crazy, because big and crazy things are, you know, what capture people's imagination.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Send this song to 20 people. Add your name, don't break the cycle, pass it along by word of mouth, save the world, don't leave the house, because a virtual office in a virtual home means you never have to drive through the wrong part of town. Pass it along by word of mouth, save the world, don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Security gates. Shut out the world, it's getting worse. Save yourself, don't leave the house, because a happy future is a thing of the past, and there's always another repeat. Shut out the world, it's getting worse. Save yourself, don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
Don't leave the house.
Pass it along.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
The thing I like to do more than anything with teenagers, as I've done for 10 or 11 years now, is take kids traveling. Take packs of kids traveling somewhere. And that's the big one. That's the big one that's really drawn a lot of my teenagers together over the years, and the things we laugh. And I started off years ago with a little alternative school me and my partner ran, and with Windrouse, I took teenagers, Selena and I took teenagers on month-long camping trips. And I continued it with the center, so we've taken groups of like between 20 and 25 kids from 14 to 17 years old, camping for like, we went all through Montana, we went to Utah we did 33 days of camping in southern Utah, we went to Death Valley, And right now I'm taking, what, the last 2 years I've taken groups of kids from my center up to the Northwest Territories to a place called Fort Good Hope, which is 800 kilometers north of Yellowknife, right on the Arctic Circle. And we take 12 kids from here, well, I guess from there, from Vancouver. I'm in Vermont right now, but from the center. We take 12 kids there, and we it takes four planes. We fly from Vancouver to Edmonton, Edmonton to Yellowknife, Yellowknife to Norman Wells, and we take these little baby planes into Fort Good Hope. And we spend, you know, well, last time was 10 days up there hunting, fishing, and dancing and hanging out in the community. And then we bring 12 of their kids back down East Vancouver for 10 days of visiting with the city. We hunt hard. That's the expensive one, but we do it through an exchanges program. Canadian Heritage has an exchange program for Canadians to go and visit with other Canadians, and it's a good one. It's a good one. I would check that out. It's on. It's called exchanges.gc.ca. I guess that's what it is. It's called Exchange. You have to just pump it in. Google it as Exchanges Canada. And they have a whole, like, you wouldn't believe how many travel programs the government of Canada runs. Travel programs, exchange programs, work abroad studies, study abroad programs. There's an incredible number of things. But that's part of the way we get our funding, which is last year we did it through a place called Save Act. This year we're doing it through the YMCA. And they provide the main bulk of funding for these exchanges. They provide the transportation, which is the expensive stuff. But any way that you can get groups of homeschoolers visiting other homeschoolers or visiting other D-schoolers from different parts of the country, kids love to travel. Mm-hmm. And being going away with a group of kids is a wonderful experience because it's something that you and them share and remember for a long, long time. I still meet kids, you know, and they still laugh about back in, you know, back in 94 when, you know, the kid, like, you know, fell into the fire or, you know, or did something crazy or, you know, or burned his dinner or, you know, we went hiking there or, you know. Even just little events you remember with kids that you haven't seen for 6, 7, 8 years. I recommend it highly for groups of kids because teenagers. And so what we've done over the years with in our big long camping trips is take kids, and they have to do all their own tenting. They have to do all their own cooking. They have to do their own shopping. It's an adventure because somehow to be able to challenge kids and to be able to capture their imagination with something that they don't think is possible. Because one of the things about school is about restricting the imagination to a degree that kids don't believe they're capable of bigger, exciting things or adventurous things. Because they spend their whole time inside a classroom, abstraction. It's one of the great tragedies, is, again, of compulsory schooling is the endless abstraction of things. Constantly talking about things in the as if it's somewhere else. It doesn't actually exist, but it's just actually kind of a phenomenological detail or something of your life. But actually, being out of school enables people to actually interact with the world in a direct and meaningful way all the time. And so be able to get kids out there and say, you like deserts? Well, hell, let's go to desert. Let's go there. You want to go to desert? Let's go to Utah. Let's do it. You've got to be able to hit it, right? You've got to be able to go, all right. And it involves a change in personal mentality, a change in lifestyle in a certain way to go, all right, let's do it. Fine. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. You want to see one of the big cactuses? Let's go right now. And I think too many times parents and kids are kind of governed by a kind of fear of what if. We're not keeping up. We should be in school. We're not doing this. What if this? You know, kids are capable of doing an incredible amount, and they're incredibly resilient. I mean, driving across the country, or, you know, might be difficult, might be hard, and everybody might complain. But yeah, you listen to tapes and put tapes in the car radio and hit her. But just do what you can.
I'll put in a plug for my new book, which is called Field Day, available on New Star Press. Without sounding like too big a jerk, I think it's pretty good. I'm kind of proud of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. The Purple Thistle website will be up, and it has a page of that catalogs all the writing and all the current stuff I've written, where it is and stuff like that.
Up in the morning and out to school, mother says there'll be no work next year. Qualifications, what's the golden rule? And now just pieces of paper, just because you're better than me. I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. If you look the part, you'll get the job. And last year's trousers and your old school shoes. The truth is, son, it's a buyer's market. Can't afford to pick and choose. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because I dress like this doesn't mean I'm a communist. The factories are closing and the army. And the land of the free,
is only a future for the chosen few. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. At 21 you're on top of the scrap heap. At 16 you were top of your class. All they taught you at school was how to be a good worker. System has failed, you don't fail yourself. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFM.
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 97.9 FM, and Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy?
It's like fun, and there's different subjects and different teachers to meet and stuff, and there's really fun activities and everything, and I think it would be better than homeschooling, but I've never been homeschooled, mm-hmm. so it would be nice to know what it's like to be homeschooled.
How do you feel like when you're in the middle of something really exciting and interesting, and then someone says, okay, close your book or whatever, it's time for you to do your math equations or something? So you're interrupted.
Well, for me, it doesn't really matter because I like math, but, like, sometimes it's upsetting, but then I would just go home and get back into the whatever I was doing.
Okay. How about the fact that you have so much homework?
That gets upsetting sometimes. Yeah.
So how about you, Marshall? What do you think?
Well, we don't have homework every day.
Mm-hmm.
The homework is basically stuff you don't finish at school, or sometimes they assign you a bit extra. And the homework is like, I think it's like a good thing because it just sort of prepares you more. Because like, if you become a lawyer, you can't do everything, do everything at the building, the lawyer place. You have to solve the case at home too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you're homeschooled, you don't get any homework.
What are you interested in really a lot? You can't even focus.
Art.
Do you feel that you have enough time to do art when you're at school?
When my teachers talk a lot and it's sort of boring, I just sort of like take a piece of paper and a pencil out and just draw.
Mm-hmm. Do you retain the stuff that you're not interested in?
Yes, sometimes. some of it. The part to actually listen to.
The really bad thing about school is there's some subjects you really don't like, but you have to learn them.
Mm-hmm.
And like my worst subject is English, mm-hmm. French, and my favorite subject is gym.
Mm-hmm.
And like you have like in English. My teacher, he tells me to do this, but when I really don't want to do this, like when your teacher gives you homework, instead you want to play outside instead of doing homework.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's weird.
I personally don't like reading, but it will help me a lot in the future, because like reading is a big part of life, and spelling and like everything. Like some kids think they suffer like right now, but when like you grow up, you'll say, oh, I didn't really suffer at school, I suffer more right now.
A good thing about school is you like know, like at our school we have day one to day six,
and you know what's going to happen. Uh-huh. As they're like homeschooling, you might not know what you're going to have next. Well, the best part about school is the end of it, because then you have to go on all these fun trips. Like this year we went to this place and I found such nice rocks and bought such nice rocks, and we got parties. And
if you just like have fun all day, then you grow up knowing, oh, like who cares about money or anything, it's all about having fun. Like money is the thing that like gives you food, and food is the thing that makes you survive.
School's around seven hours a day. Mm-hmm. But you don't learn 7 hours a day. You have breaks, you have recess, you have lunch periods.
At homeschool, you can have breaks and stuff like that too. It depends. All depends on the homeschooler.
Hello.
My name's Evelyn, and I am a homeschooler. I don't go to school. I've never been to school in my life. And I think all this about like school field trips and everything is silly, because you can get them just as much out of school, and you can have them more in that, because you have more time and you can learn what you want instead of what you don't want to learn. Because like, if you don't want to learn something and you're forced to at school, then it's kind of not really that nice. It's like torture. I love reading. I don't really like writing, but I'm going to learn it, and then I'll like it a lot, and then I'll love it. And I love math. Best subject, one of the best subjects in the whole world. And I don't know why everyone says they hate math when they go to school.
Do you ever feel like, you know, you're interested in going to school?
No, of course not. I've never felt like I have my life.
The good thing about homeschool is they don't get report cards. So, but another good thing about report cards is like, let's say you get a C in French, then you know that in French you have to improve to not get a C. That's the one good thing about report cards.
The reason why we went to Cuba is because my mom wanted to spend more time with us, because we always go to school. Yeah. She comes back from work at about 9, 10 or something, and she really misses us.
Yeah, but actually I think our parents, like, the only reason that we don't spend as much time with us is because our parents want us to go to school to get education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a teacher that lets you do anything you want, like completely anything. Mm-hmm. Then you have like that one teacher for like 3 years for this like grade like 1, 2, and 3. So in grade 4 you learn like to just like not listen to your teacher, not listen to anyone, and that might like not help you.
Yeah.
But let's say you have like a really really strict teacher and say, oh, she's so bad, I'm gonna pretend I'm sick or something. But like later, you might say, that teacher helped me so much by like not letting me be all lazy and do whatever I want.
Maybe we can go anywhere.
Like some of the field trips our teachers take us is to learning. Like once we went on a field trip and it was like a forest with like caves, like how old people, like Aboriginal people lived. So they still have a little museum, and we went there as a class trip. Or once we just went to this like forest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just like they gave us a seed of the kind of trees we should find, and like we should put like a sticker on the kind of tree we found.
Did you like that?
Not really.
You see, it could sound great, but if you're not interested,
if you could go on a field trip and like they might like want you to go, and your parents want you to go, but
you don't have any interest. You don't care, right?
And then you have to go because everybody wants you to go. Yeah. It's not that much of a difference. It's just homeschooling might be more of what you want, or schooling might be more of what you want.
We can't really go against homeschool because we have no clue what it's like, because we've never been homeschooled. Like, we would really like to know what we like to be homeschooled. We'd like to spend a day with, like, homeschools.
Yeah.
So,
That would be, like, a neat...
Yeah.
That would be a neat field trip to go, like, to someone that's homeschooled.
You can come over sometime.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.